Amen.
Father, we thank you. We have lifted up our voices in prayer to you. We take authority over the atmosphere. We take authority right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, you are the helper from above. Help.
Amen.
I have very little to say on the topic, but just a few points, because I was looking through and thinking about this, and suddenly something hits me about the topic that's made me think, oh my God, this is actually slightly more interesting than I thought. So I'll try to give some prereqs and then touch on the point itself. And maybe I will skip some of the slides that I have. But by the grace of God, yes, I do quite a bit. But the interesting thing about it is that it never really occurred to me how much time that actually goes into some of these things. Until some time ago, I was meant to have a radio interview on Premier Gospel, and they were asking me for, can you send us something about yourself, can you give us links to something, and I thought, oh, okay. So I sent them a link to my website, akinakiemi.com, and the guy now called back. He said, you are a big man. So I kind of thought that, what do you mean? He said, wow, see all of these things you are involved in, you are doing this, you are doing that. But for once, it never really occurred to me that we were doing stuff. But it did say something. And that something is this. We are spending time with every breath you take. Time is being spent with every breath. And the more time is spent, the more you should be building something that your future will find relevant. You should be building something that your future will find relevant. That when you get into your future, you can point back and say, those are the things that I did with my time. So I really like meetings like we're having today, because they're a point of reflection. They're a time that makes us consider, what exactly are we doing? What do we believe? There are things that make us wonder, you stop, you think. Life is fast paced. Everything is happening. We're trying to juggle this, juggle that. I need to go and do this thing here. I need to see that person. I need to visit this. Once children get involved, you need to get things for the children. And it just goes and it goes and it goes. But the challenge is this. Do we really know what time means? When you talk about time, do we know what it means? Do we understand this thing called time? Is it something that, as some people call it different things? But I now started looking and said, what exactly is time? So when you're saying time, what exactly is time? And then I realized that many people don't realize how complicated it is to define time, and how confusing it can be to define time. It's one of those complex things that in itself, you struggle to define it. You have to define it using something, or you define it describing something else. So I thought, actually, just for my sake, let me check in the dictionary and find out, what does it say? And that was where my journey of interest actually now started. Because there's a complication. Dictionary.com, 26 definitions announced. Three of them are adjectives. Five of them are verbs. When there is no, or when you are using an object. One of them, when you are not using an object. So for when you are using an object, so for example, you say, what time is the meeting? The second one is you say, I'm keeping time. So there is no object to that. What time is the meeting? That's an object, the meeting. And then as idioms, 28. So I now said, this one is a real issue here. Because if we only take the definitions that are nouns, 26 different ways you can use the thing. People can really, really get confused with that. Now, if you don't think that is complicated enough, just looking at that, let's now look at some of these definitions. So, I just said, let me pick the top four. No, I didn't change anything. You can go and type in dictionary.com, time. I just picked the top four. Let me give you 1 second, so a few seconds to read that. And tell me if you understand what they're saying. I read it the first time. And then I read it the second time. And then I read it the third time. And I thought, you know what? I'm not sure what's going on here. Okay, so number two. So I looked at that as well and I thought, okay. So let's look at number three. This one was interesting. A system or method of measuring or reckoning the passage of time. We're using time to define time. So what is time? Time is what I'm interested in. So, by the time I got to 1 point, I was asking myself, do I really have the will to continue with this thing? Trying to understand this time. Where are we going? And then I thought, okay, let me switch. Maybe it's the dictionary I'm using. I went to the Merriam-Webster dictionary.com. Now, they called it simple definition. Simple. Big caveat. I put it there in caps. So what did they call it?
The thing
that is measured in seconds, minutes, hours, days, and years. So I said, what is the thing? Because it's the thing that I'm interested in. I said, okay, maybe it's not a particular minute or hour shown by the clock. So what is time? Time is the hour, the minute shown by that clock. Really? So time is money. So is time 5 past 11? Well, yes, it's 5 past 11, but how does it work? I started to grapple with this thing, to say, my mind is just not sure. And there were more. The time in a particular area or part of the world. So the more you look into those, the more I say again, they are using time. So if you call this the simple definition, what will the
complex one
be? Okay, so I will spare you for that one. Go and check it yourself when you get home. I will spare you for that. Okay, so maybe the biblical concept will be easier. So I went into the Bible to check. 708 times, 515 in the Old Testament, 188 in the New Testament. Okay, good. Everybody understands that. Now, some researchers claim that the word time is in the top 20% of words. How they did that, I don't know. But they've done some research that say if you pick the top 20% of words that people speak, time will be in that conversation. Okay? I don't mind that. So I started to ask myself, actually, is this thing going to get easier? 700 times the word is used. Different things in the Old and in the New Testament. Okay. So let's look at the first five in the Old Testament. Genesis 4:3. In the process of time, it came to pass. In the process of time. Genesis 17:21. There was a covenant. It says, Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Okay. On this point, I just remembered. On this point, there's somebody here. Your past up till now, you have been regarded in a certain way. So time had elapsed. When people look at you, they define you by those things. A set time has come for you. That means that from this time going forward, the way you will be described will change.
Amen.
Because a transformation is coming into your life.
Amen.
The set time, that means that you no longer refer to Sarah by the barrenness. You refer to Sarah by the fact that fruitful, amen, fulfillment of promises. She received faith to conceive.
Amen.
You remember that?
Amen.
So, set time. Then you see 18:10. It talks about the time of life. Then time of life again. In 21:2, it talks about the set time. And I started to notice a trend. Time of life, set time. Okay, what are we talking about? We'll come back here in a minute. Okay, so I thought old things have passed away. Maybe old things will become new. So let's see what the New Testament has to say. New Testament is even interesting. Again, all I've just done here is pick the top five. You know, just going through Genesis, what are the first five places time occurred in the King James Version? And then going to the New Testament. So again, about the time. What time the star appeared? According to the time, at any time, from that time, you start to see those descriptions. Now, the more I looked at that, the more I started to say to myself, hang on, something is going on here. Because remember that what we're looking at is how you manage the different areas of your life. How you bring balance to the different areas of your life. But when I started looking at these stories, I saw something that I had never seen before when it comes to time and how you manage time. Now, if you understand this thing, listen, every area of your life, every single area of your life will change completely. If you understand this thing, Jesus began to preach from that time. So there was a moment something changed. A moment. So when you are defining what time is, it's not necessarily your age. It's not necessarily how long something has been. It's about the moment something changed. When you are bringing balance to your life, is about the moment the shift happens. Some people maybe, you know, Sarah was there for so long, did not give birth. Suddenly, a child came. A moment to balance. What's going on? I was doing something before without a child. Now I have a child. I came in contact with something. I'm taking you somewhere. I will bring it all together at the end. Then it will start to make sense. And I've got very few minutes left. So, when you look at some other things in the Bible, it starts to get even more intriguing. Because you read some verses and you start to wonder, what exactly is going on here? Now, one of them is this. So look at this. When you are thinking in terms of dates, time, as we know time to be. And then I got to verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 7. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. And I thought, how do I explain time to somebody like that? How do you explain, I woke up in the morning, I do this for 2 hours, I do that for 3 hours. I just looked at it and my mind just started to say, my friend, I don't know what's going on here. And I started to say, Holy Ghost, what is this thing? What are you trying to communicate here? What are you trying to show me here? So, given the fact that there are so many definitions there of time, I now said, Holy Ghost, how do I relate this to myself? How do I relate it to myself? How do I relate it to my daily life? And then I saw something. So I'll give you my own definition. I will now go back to those scriptures and it will all come together for you, and I'm done. So I look at it as a point in what you call eternity. No beginning, no end. So imagine you draw a line from here to there. Any point in that place that you touch is your time. Any point in eternity that you touch is your time. When you are trying to get the balance right, God, work, family, any point you touch in eternity is your time. Now, the Bible says something, talked about some people who missed the time of their visitation. So there are people who have a set time, an appointed point in eternity that God has ordained before the foundation of the world for you to be. When you come in contact with that thing, your concept of time is now making sense. Any other thing outside of that, and I will show you the breakdown. Any other thing outside of that, you will start to struggle. Now you're saying, how does this relate in practical terms? Hold on. Whatever point in eternity you are touching. So, John the Baptist shows up. He says, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. That was a point. Jesus shows up at the Jordan. John the Baptist said, the one that sent me said, when you are baptizing, the one upon whom you see the Spirit descending, that's the one. So, there had been something that had been said before that meant at a certain point in eternity, humanity was going to come into contact with that point. That then defined your time. It defines your time. I will simplify it for you. So, you know, I check words. So I went back and I started checking. What exactly were the words they used? They called time. What were the words? It says it's a superimposition. That's like you take, you know how kids used to play? You take a drawing, you now take your tracing paper. You put tracing paper on the thing and you now start to trace. Time is a superimposition of a measuring system on eternity. It is taking a measuring system, you put it on eternity so that you can understand what eternity is. It's a measuring system. A system that says the evening and the morning were the first day. Not the morning and the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. So there had to be a measuring system in order for you to have a day. If there was no measuring system, you couldn't have a day. Now, what defined the value of that measuring system is what you are delivering within it. What you are delivering within it. So God says, 7 days. Have you ever asked yourself, why didn't God create everything in one day? Because time has got things in it that have to be fulfilled. He just has to. If it is not there, it is not time. If it is not there, it cannot be in eternity. It cannot be in eternity. And if you are not following that order, things will be misaligned in your life. Full stop. And then I started to understand that right from the beginning of creation, one of the first things God starts to show to us, importance of time. I have the capacity as God to create the earth all at once. Mm-hmm. I choose to restrain myself to do it in 7 days. So that you can understand that what you use your time for is not based on the energy you have. What you use your time for is based on what God is telling you to do at a particular location, at a particular point. So I can have 1 million pounds. I may not necessarily invest all that 1 million pounds in something. I may actually look at something. I have a need and I can solve with money. And I choose, I'm not going to solve this thing with money because it is not my time. I am not at the place, the location in eternity where this thing is supposed to happen. Therefore, I'm not going to do it. You are now coming into an understanding of time. The order is this. So it's a measuring system. A measuring system. It comprises of seasons, locations, and an order. Order. What do I mean by seasons? Evening and the morning. Sunrise, sunset. You are looking at those things. So when you are talking about time and how you manage time, you are saying that the season of your life is changing. Every time the season of your life changes, your time has changed. Everything you do about yourself changes. If it's a woman, the minute you get pregnant, the season of your life has changed. If you are a child, the minute you get to that point where people consider that you have now grown up, the season of your life has changed. And because the season of your life has changed, everything that happens around you changes. Everything changes. So when you are getting the balance right, you have to understand, what season am I in? What season am I in? So many things have been said about time in the Bible. But each one of them, there was a location. When the Holy Ghost was going to fall, there was a season, there was a location, and there was another. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will not come if I have not gone to the Father. If I go, I will send him. That's order. Order. Location. Stay in Jerusalem. If you are not in Jerusalem, the Holy Ghost will not hit you. You need to be in Jerusalem for that thing to happen. You need to be there. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So, let me explain order to you again. If you want to learn to swim, you have to go to a location at certain times of your life. And you have to start tick, 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 tick. Move the hand, move the hand. You finish that, you move to another level. Order. Order. You cannot choose. There is an order to have children. You get married. You have the child. To switch that order around is problematic. So if you switch the order in anything, the season of your life will automatically change. Automatically. Switch the order. There are people who said, I had great dreams until I discovered I was pregnant. What happened? Their season changed. You make decisions that affect the season, or you choose not to be in the location. Okay, what do you mean location? Elijah, get up, go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow to feed you there. The location, Zarephath. If he had gone to any other place other than Zarephath, there would have been no widow there to feed him. No widow to feed. no widow to feed. Season of your life. All these things intertwined. All of them. Seasons, location, order. Then you understand how you need to apply time. Now, time always has an entry and an exit. So when you think about the season of your life, there is a way you enter into a season in your life. And there is a way you exit a season in your life. So, maybe there was a time you were not walking. There were certain things you were doing. You got a job. You have to reorder your life. You've exited a season. Even the earth is built on seasons. You go from your winter to your summer to your whatever you're going to, or spring, summer, autumn, dry season, wet season. Everything in life is about seasons. So when you are looking at how do I get the balance in my life, what is the season of your life? That's the question. And always realize that I am entering into a season. This may not be forever. There may be an exit point that says, I used to do this. Actually, I no longer do it. And I feel no compulsion to continue to do it. Why? Because I have fulfilled what I need to do in that point. Now, I put something here. God does not have the capacity to be stale. So you don't have the capacity to be stale. At every point you are in those areas, whether it's in God, you should be moving in the freshness of God as God is moving in his freshness. If you are not, you will get stale. If you are not, you will miss your season. You will not hear the instruction about the location you need to be at for certain things to happen. There have been days where I was praying at home and God said, get up, go to a particular location. At certain times, an angel will come down, stir the water so the people could go in. Location. If you want the time and the season of your life to change, you have to identify that place and go there. That's why some people, they leave certain businesses or they leave certain churches and things start to go wrong in their life. They say, what's happening? Order. Location. Season. Order. Location. Season. How do I balance my life? I need to be a publisher. I need to be an author. I need to do my regular job. And when once you are dealing with people and you are dealing with large numbers of them, they can be problematic. People come up with all manner of ideas, different opinions. How do you handle that? I've got the assignment God has given me. How do I handle that? Loads of those things. What is the concept? Understand the season. At some point, I am in my season as a publisher. At another point, I'm in my season as an author. At that season, I am not trying to be a publisher because it will not work. And then I move into the office and I'm dealing with people in 16 countries. I can't be saying I'm faith campaign assignment. It will not work. It will not work. Understand the dynamics of the different seasons of your life. So sometimes when I'm writing, there's no inspiration. No inspiration. So I don't write. I don't try to write when there's no inspiration. What do I do? I look at every other thing that I do and I apply my time there. Until I get to the place where the wind blows to inspiration. Now is the time to write. I write. Then I leave it. I go to the next thing. If you don't do it that way, life will be a burden. Life will be a burden. You will not be able to balance all the business initiatives you have. You will not be able to balance family. And there is an order in this thing, which I'm mentioning. And is this. What is the order in which you need to manage these things? What is the order in which you need to manage them? This is the way I put it. God first, work second, family third. You say, eh?
Wait, God
first, Work second, family third. You say, ah, why? Okay. God created man. Listen, if you do not get work right, you cannot get family right.
That's right.
You will be fighting at home.
Yeah.
Why don't I have money for this? Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? Why, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. There will be tension. It doesn't matter how strong the man is, there will be tension. The people who are doing family well, where, oh, let's go for a holiday, let's go for this, it's because they are doing work right. The money is flowing. The money is flowing. If the money is not flowing, you can't wait. What are you going to do? Wow. You are sitting down there, you are looking for what to eat. The children are there, they are hungry, they have no food. One guy sent me a note and was saying that my family is stranded. They cannot leave the place they are. I only have 5 sachets of pure water left. So what's happening? Family is there. Problem with work. Problem with work. Now, you can never have God right and miss work. If you have God right, you will be following the seasons. You will be hearing the ghetto go into Zarephath. Even if you are somewhere you are not feeling well, I have sent a prophet to you, Naaman. This is what you need to do. I have sent a prophet to the widow to deliver you out of the situation you are in. It just has to happen. And people just show up and they are sorting you out. You don't know which, you have a ministry, you don't know which level to go into. What happens? Paul wanted to go in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 16. Paul wanted to go into a certain city, into Asia. They said, don't go there. They said, let's go to another one. Don't go there. Suddenly, he has a dream, a vision. In the vision, he said he saw a man of Macedonia calling them. He says he woke up and he said, that means this is what God is trying to do. Now, listen. There are so many things about the operation of the Holy Ghost that I missed because I did not understand the seasons. I did not understand the seasons. Suddenly, I saw it one day. I saw images that were flashing in my mind. I did not take them to mean anything. Until one day, I was ministering. And God just said, that image, that's what it is. So I gave the word. And then I go back home. I said, hey, God. So all the time that those images had been flashing, you are trying to change the season of my life. The minute I got that right, I shared it with somebody. He said, what? I went somewhere. Somebody was looking for papers. And as we were talking, you told me image flashed. As I was talking to the person, image flashed. I said, within 7 days, you're going to get your visa. The guy went. He came back. 7 days, they gave him visa. I said, hey, these are the things that were supposed to have been changing the seasons of our lives. Didn't pick it up. That was a problem. God first, work second, then family. Then family. Work is your first demonstration that you are working in your capacity as a child of God. The first revelation of God we have after the revelation of God himself is the revelation of work. He started as a working God. He says, and God rested from his work. He rested from exerting himself. That's your first thing. Sort the God bit out. Sort the work bit out. Family becomes sweet. Family becomes sweet. Your season, the location you're in, and the order in which things need to happen. The order in which they need to happen. So Jesus did not come, then John the Baptist. No. The Holy Ghost did not come, then Jesus goes up. No. There was an order. There was an order. Jesus did not just come and do his stuff. And after Jesus left, some 12 guys now showed up and said, "We are the apostles." No. No. The apostles showed up. Jesus showed up. You pick them. Even when they got in Acts of the Apostles, they wanted to replace Judas. So, okay. There is a moment and a location in eternity where you will have to replace an apostle, and that person is Matthias. If you get this right, honestly, your life is sorted. There are some things I've seen over the last few days where I've been thinking and contemplating on stuff and praying. Clearly, exactly the same way. In fact, I saw in a place, exactly as Paul saw it. He said, "I saw a man that appeared unto me, and there was some, I was debating with the man." He showed up, he said, "I know you." I said, "I don't know who you are, you cannot do anything to me." He said, "I know you, I know your heritage." And he started, "Eh? What is this?" He finished, he did something. Hey, yeah. I said, "Eh?" And then I saw the story of Paul. He said, a man appeared in a vision. And the man was telling us, "Come to Macedonia." He said, "Ah." So to miss that season, to miss that location, means what? It means my family will get into trouble. Why? Because I will not be able to meet their needs. It means that the satisfaction that I'm looking for, where God said, "I have done all," and he saw that it was good, I cannot experience because I'm not in the season. When it's changing from summer and it's starting to get cold, I can't be there. Why? Because I've moved things around in the way they should have not have been moved around. I said, "See, so I get God right. I get the season right. I get the voice of the Holy Ghost right. Work becomes easy. There's no trouble with work, no stress with work. Suddenly I just have favor with everybody. Suddenly everybody just gives me time to do whatever it is I need to do. All the people who are giving me headaches, suddenly they can't give me headache anymore, and they just don't know why they are doing that to me." And I started to remember certain things that I was doing. Where I walked into a board meeting at Unilever once. As I walked into the board meeting, they said, "You are the one we have been waiting. We were just talking about you now." And you know, Nigeria board meeting is Unilever, serious. There were long people. And, we're just about talking about you. What happened? Somebody was going in for a meeting. He needed a report. The report was not ready. I've got to go. Bring it to me. I walk into the boardroom at the exact time they were talking about me. "That's the boy we've just been talking about. Hearing good things about you. Do you know what that would do to your career?" When the managing director, in front of every board member, says, "We're hearing very good things about you. Keep it up, boy. Keep it up. Do you know what that would do to your career?" Why was it that timing that I entered into that place? Why? Job done. So you'll be coming in contact with all these things. Coming in contact. And suddenly, you are fine. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Suddenly you are fine. How do you get the balance right? That's how you get the balance right. Understand the seasons of your life. Understand the location. Some of you need to be in this church planted every Sunday, otherwise your life goes nowhere. I'm saying, "I can go anywhere I want." Okay, God bless you. Go anywhere you want. It's like me saying, "I can go anywhere I want." Go now. What you go? Go. Let's see. But a lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand that. "I can do whatever I want." You cannot do whatever you want. This Holy Ghost is orderly. He is orderly. He will tell you, this is what you need to do now, today. When you wake up tomorrow, the instruction might be different. At the bottom of the hill, it might be sacrifice this thing. At the top of the hill, it might be hold on. If you see me at the time when I am separated from you, you will get a double portion. So he had to be exactly where a location, physical place, where the chariot was going to show up. He was not going to see chariot and then Elisha go up. No. Elisha was going to go up with the chariot. He was going to see that, and a mantle was going to drop. He couldn't have had Elijah's mantle before Elijah left. Order. So that's why you walk under a ministry and suddenly you believe that I've got my own anointing. I'm going to
start a church.
How? Then life becomes misaligned. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Those are the points I have.